Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments of Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at andersongriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have with us today somebody old, somebody new. It's just like an old pair of shoes. You know, I got Paul Basher, the CEO of York Electric Cooperative, at least for the next 60 days or so, and his successor, Craig Spencer, who is with us today for his first time, and I hope this will be the first of many trips that you'll be here. I can tell. How are you all? Doing okay?
Doing well.
All right.
And Manny,
well,
I want to start off just giving you a shout-out.
Oh, you just
tell me your 50th wedding anniversary.
How about that?
So, you know, congratulations to you and sympathies to Sheila.
We ought to do a show with her about what 50 years is like.
Can I do the show and you just sit there and look and not have a mic?
That wouldn't be possible. Not at all. Okay, so let's do some introductions here. Why don't we start with you, Craig, and tell everybody a little bit about your background, if you would.
Sure, Manning. Well, born and raised in Western York County, Hickory Grove, went to York Comprehensive High School, went to USC, got my electrical engineering degree, came back to, no comments from the peanut gallery over there.
Clemson. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Carolina graduate and we have a Clemson graduate. Here we go. Go ahead.
So, came to the co-op in February of 92, been there ever since, started off purchasing over the warehouse and progressed on into engineering, and when Paul took over CEO about 21 years ago, I took over the full engineering department.
Oh boy.
And been working under Mr. Basha for 32 years, pretty much.
Working with.
So when we say you took over the engineering department, explain to commoners like me, what does that mean? Does that mean planning towers and lines and getting them done? And
absolutely. Basically, we design York Electric system to make sure that we're adequate. We have more than enough electrical capacity to serve the coldest day, the hottest day. Our lines are big enough so that the voltage at the end of the line is appropriate. Any issues that we may be experiencing in an overloaded area due to some old lines or something like that, we would designed to change those out and get them up to a bigger size, that type of thing.
So I'm going to ask both of you. this is kind of like having a Ouija board, I would think. You're predicting, okay, we need this size line or this many towers or whatever it is, because we think this is what the population is going to be. And you're basing that on a lot of data that's given to you. And then all of a sudden you find out, oops, we're growing a little bit faster than we anticipated. Is that something that you deal with regularly?
Absolutely.
Okay.
As you know, you've been around here a long time. Fort Mill, 20 years ago, you know, it took off like a rocket, of course. But we do build in when we're doing our construction work plan. We do it about every 4 years. So we do plan for growth, and we keep up with planned developments, that kind of thing, that are in the pipe. So we estimate how much is going to be there. And, of course, we oversize a lot of things, too, because it just makes a lot of sense to go ahead and put up a bigger size wire than, you know, because it's going to be there for 30, 35 years. So we
sure
want to make sure that we're planning for that growth.
I took a nice little motorcycle ride up to York the other day, and I was stunned by the amount of dirt that has been moved. I have not been up there in a while. A lot of pipes going in, which means a lot of rooftops are coming in. You get in on that when a plan goes to the planning department up there and you see what somebody's planning to do?
Typically we do. Most of the dirt that you're seeing moved in York itself is in Duke Power's territory, so unfortunately we're not getting to do that. But normally we are working with York County. We're working with the cities, Town of Fort Mill, City of York, to get those plans early on so that we know what's coming. We may know it, you know, a year or so ahead of time.
Okay. And Manny, one thing too, the relationship we've had with developers over the last decades is that they want us to serve power to stuff, and they're coming to us well in advance saying, hey, I'm looking at doing this over here. So we know before, a lot of times the planning department knows.
Okay, so all right.
Relationships, you know?
Yeah, relationships. And we could do a whole program, particularly for those who are new to the community, about how these territories got, you know, set up to begin with. But if I understand the co-op story of how it all got started, these were rural areas many, many, many years ago that were not getting any service from the large providers like Duke or maybe the city of Rock Hill. And so enter the co-ops across the state of South Carolina. And there are how many of them? 20?
19.
19 of them. And you all basically have taken over servicing what used to be a rural area like Fort Mill, absolutely, which is now just blown up in large proportions. All right, so we know what you do with the yes. engineering department. Do you have to go to him and get permission to do this?
Nah, he does a good job. He knows the right thing to do. I just stay out of his way.
He likes to withhold a checkbook a little bit, but, you know,
no.
we can usually get around that.
Yeah. But, you know, when you talk about withholding the checkbook, again, for people who are not part of the co-op, York Electric Co-op, what is unique in the co-op world versus an investor-owned utility like Duke is that whatever the, we'll call it, profits are, mm-hmm. are going back to those who are on the co-op system. I mean, every year you get a check of some kind or another.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're giving back a record amount this year. I think it's $2.7 million going back to the membership, and people love to get those checks in May.
Well, the other thing is, and this is really, I think this is really neat, all the utilities do this. I mean, Duke does it, you do it, but you've got a program called a Roundup program, mm-hmm. where customers, you know, if your bill is whatever, $100.25 or 35 cents, you round it up to the next dollar, that change goes into a pot, and then you have a community group which gets together, I don't know, twice a year?
Every quarter.
And they basically put that money back out into the community to nonprofits that need help.
Nonprofits, individuals that need help. I think we crossed $4 million giving back to the community, and it's changed lives.
$4 million. And then you started a new foundation here 2 years ago?
Three years ago. The Borough Foundation. Right. That's helping needs that are out there. You know, I like to say the special need kids who gets a special bicycle stolen, or veteran who needs a ramp coming out of the hospital. We're doing those kind of things with those funds. So we got two foundations trying to help change the community.
Well, good for you. And you've helped out many, many, many people. All right. So here we are. You're planning for your growth, and your estimates are what they should be. But the other question I have is, what about the actual power for these lines? You buy your power from South Carolina, is that right, SENG?
It was. It's now called Dominion. But, no, we get most of it from Santee Cooper, and okay. we get part from Duke Power. We're okay. Duke's largest customer for Duke Carolinas.
It's already become a statewide issue about, do we have enough power? We're growing. We got over 5 million people now in South Carolina, and who would have ever thought York County would have 300,000? That's over double what it was when I came here 40 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anybody left in Ohio. It seems like everybody's left there to come here, which is fine. But, yeah, so we do need more generation in South Carolina. The House, Legislative House, just passed a bill that will help expedite power generation, which we need in the state. I think the Senate is taking up a version of that. But we do need generation in the state because, like you said, we're growing. And we're also trying to retire coal plants and be more environmentally friendly in how we produce power.
So you're relying upon the larger utilities to keep doing what they're doing and building plants to supply you with the power. But it's so difficult to get that done. I mean, on a statewide level, you're getting some help from the legislature. Okay. But God forbid we should try to put another nuclear power plant in position. I mean, it takes a decade or a decade and a half to get it approved, and by that time the price of everything is quadrupled, and we already know what happens.
Right, and even a gas plant is going to take a minimum 7 or 8 years to build by the time you upgrade gas lines and build a power plant, and, you know, supply chain issues. So in the old days you could get a power plant built in, you know, 2 or 3 years, but not today.
So we all know what happened a few years ago when we had a real cold spell. And
Christmas Eve.
Great. Thank you, Santa Claus. Thank you. And York Electric was able to keep everybody powered up. But Duke had some issues.
By the grace of God.
By the grace of
everybody
God.
Everybody was on. Everybody. We'll give the good Lord credit.
It was close.
So when you get in a situation like that, how does that work? I mean, if you're buying power from a large utility that's being challenged because of weather, they have a commitment to fulfill what you have ordered or they've agreed to give you? Or do they say, Paul, we need you to cut back a little bit or something? How do they handle that?
Yes and yes. We have a commitment. But when the well runs dry, the well runs dry. There's no other way around that. So we were in the process of having to do rolling blackouts. We did not. You know, Duke did, Santee Cooper did, other utilities did. But we were on the verge of it, and we were basically the gauge on our gas tank was at empty, but we had a little bit in the fumes left to make it through that day, and thankful.
Oh, my gosh. So how do you, because you have to plan for all this stuff, if it's happened once, it can happen again, right?
Absolutely.
So do you sit there and have nightmares about this?
At times. you know, we're always watching the power, especially on super cold mornings or super hot days. There were a lot of things that happened during that cold spell. There were a lot of plants that were undergoing some modifications, some shutdowns. There's some that failed due to different things. So literally it was a kind of a perfect storm kind of thing, but it just shows you how fragile that system can be if you don't have that backstop of always available power. And while solar and wind and other things work, there's no doubt they work. They're just not always on sources of power.
Right, and realistically, they're not going to be able to. It's a combination of any kind of source you can get that's
Absolutely.
Going to give you the overall bubble that you need to have.
Absolutely, and that's one. You know, we're not against solar. We're not against wind. We're not. You know, we're all of the above. Whatever it, whatever most economical and works.
Well, you've got some solar farms up now.
We do.
How many do you have?
We've got two in York Electric's territory that our membership owns that they're part owners in.
Right. Are you planning for more?
Not right now. That's something that we're working. We have access to some more at another co-op. If we have members that were interested in it, we can get that.
Well, Manning, around the state, there's the co-op families building a few bigger ones, mainly in the lower part of the state.
And the way those things work, I've forgotten how it, if I'm a customer and I want to have solar power versus gas-generated power, how does that work?
I think you're talking about the community solar.
Yeah. Community solar, basically you buy a block of power, and it's a certain amount per month, and then you get it, whatever gets generated out of that block of power that you've purchased gets credited back against your bill.
Yeah, so, I have it on my York Electric bill, and it's been a good investment.
Yeah.
You know, I'm also reminded of what happened in Texas a couple of years ago when they had that big freeze down there. And for some reason, again, I'm no engineer, their equipment wasn't set up to handle what happened. And that whole state just about shut down. It was a mess.
Absolutely. A lot of people lost their lives.
Yes. Now, lessons learned from that? I mean, as far as what happens here at the co-op?
I'll take a shot at that if you want.
Sure, go ahead.
A couple things that they've learned is, like Craig mentioned, plant outages. South Carolina has actually changed, and North Carolina too. When some of these power companies do maintenance on power plants, they used to do it in the winter. Now they're making sure they do it in the spring and the fall, not when it gets real cold. That is one way that they've done some things differently. The other thing happened in Texas was there was not coordination between the power people and the gas people. So what they did is they cut off gas lines to say, because they didn't have gas going to a power plant. So then that cut the power off, whereas if they could have communicated better about which ones are cut off and which ones not, they could have kept more lights on. So they learned a lot, and I think South Carolina and North Carolina learned from it too.
All right, so let me go back to what we were talking about just a minute or two ago. Are you all comfortable with this whole statewide issue that is there going to be enough power at the rate we're growing? I mean, do you see plans on the board, things that you know that are happening that are going to be able to address this continual growth that we know we're going to have here in South Carolina?
Me personally, no, I'm not comfortable until we get stuff actually being built. Now, Paul may differ on that, but, I mean, our power usage is going up. More stuff is being converted to electric. Big push on electric cars, stuff like that, you know, if you're interested in that. But there's more demands being put on the system, and we're retiring stuff before we have a replacement for it.
So, besides worrying about it, is this something that the co-ops across South Carolina, when you all get together, say that this is an issue that we need to be more vocal about in order to make sure we got enough power?
I would say when we get our counterparts together, 40-50% of the time, among all the other things we talk about, is devoted to making sure we have enough power across the state and keeping the lights on. So it is a big issue that we're working on the government relations side, we're working on the engineering side, on the relationship with Santa Cooper and Dominion and Duke Power, to make sure we have the power for our members. Because, you know, a co-op model is the members own us. We work for those members out there that flip a switch on, and our job is to make sure we do everything in our power to make sure they have the power they need at an economical price.
But as you pointed out a minute ago, you know, when the drain is empty, it's empty. Okay. That's a very interesting topic to me because, I mean, Santee Cooper, I mean, if you were to call Santee Cooper today, either one of you, and say, you know, we need another 5% of what we're drawing down now because this is happening, this, would they say yes? Or would they say, sorry, Paul, you better go get it somewhere else?
They're obligated to supply it. But if their tank is empty, then, you know, that's when you get into those situations.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing I would say, I think I don't think we're on the dire verge of bad things the next couple of years. But when you get up beyond 2 or 3 years, if something's not done, we could be in a different situation.
And as you say, it takes 7 years to build a gas plant.
But our job is to make sure we're looking down the road. That's why we started working on this 3 years ago.
Right.
So we've been sound alarm at the State House, other places that this needs out there, and we've been working in all these different channels. It just takes a while to get the machine moving.
Sounds to me like we need to get a shovel in the ground and get something going. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them at the same place online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We have a new cue card holder here. He's not as cute as Vanna White, but he's okay. At the count of three, we're going to tell everybody what we do here at Substation 2. Fresh subs and saddles, how do we do it? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery, like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Last year was a big year for Founders Federal Credit Union and our amazing members. A total of $30 million was given back to qualifying members in the form of loyalty bonus dividends, proving once again that it pays to be a Founders member. Founders is also committed to pouring time and resources into the local communities we serve. If you aren't a member yet, what are you waiting for? Join Founders today. Visit foundersfcu.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required.
Spring is here, and so is the annual Come See Me Festival. This is Charlie Ruffalo. Remember, whatever your Come See Me plans, Substation 2 subs are perfect for picnic lunches at Glencairn and tailgating at the Winthrop Farm. Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Order online at mysubstationii.com.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Chair Road across from Winthrop. Very pleased to have with us Paul Basher, the CEO of York Electric Cooperative, at least between now and the 10th of June, and his successor, Craig Spencer, who has agreed to come on the show because Paul made him come. He'll probably never come back. But anyway, here we are. Back. He'll come back. Okay.
I'll come back and sit over here and make faces.
That's
y'all
good.
Next time.
That's good. So I think people would be interested since they, you know, have known you for so long. You look like you're bright and healthy and you got another 30 years worth of something in you. You've just decided you're going to go, you've done enough of the corporate stuff, you're going to do something else, right?
Well, I've always wanted to retire somewhere in this time range. My wife, who I want to give a shout-out to, which has been a tremendous blessing.
Aren't they all?
Yeah. I mean, not 50 years like you, but we do a lot to try to help in the community and ministry, and there's never enough time to do all the things that we want to do to help folks. So the plan is to retire, take some time to chill out, you know, work on my golf game a little bit, which is terrible, and catch a few more saltwater fish, but to really devote some time to helping needs in the community. Homelessness is one thing that we are involved in now that is very important. Food for people who don't have food. There's some widow stuff that we want to look at helping out because a lot of times the widows and widowers in our community get overlooked, and plus many other things. So we want to try to devote some time to helping the community and ministry and do some good stuff that nobody really knows about, but it matters in the big scheme of things.
Good for you. Good for you. Great example for many of us to pay attention to. So coming up, a little drum roll. If you haven't not, well, too bad we don't do it the way we used to do it. But the annual meeting for York Electric Cooperative is coming up. This is something that is required by your charter, is it not?
It is.
All right.
And may the 4th be with you.
And may the 4th be with you. Now, up until a couple of years.
You need to tell why I said that because it's May 4th. You're going to get there. Okay.
I got you. He's clever, right?
Yeah.
See, he really is a marketing guy. He just he's coming out of a shell here at the end of his career.
Whatever. You may put him on the radio after he retires.
Oh, yeah. Might have a slot for him to do a show, you know?
Absolutely.
Paul Basher sitting in for me on Straight Talk.
As long as I can interview you, man.
But in all seriousness, a few years ago, you had to change the model of your annual meeting. Had a lot to do with COVID and all that kind of stuff. But up until then, you would assemble any member who wanted to come. We'll come out to the big, large field behind your corporate headquarters. There would be thousands.
Sometimes 10,000 people there.
Sometimes 10,000 people. You might have thought it was a fair of some kind. And you did the business of the co-op. Everybody had hot dogs and, you know, Cokes and all that kind of stuff. And it was a big time. But the new model, which I think is probably a better model for everybody, is a drive-through model. Using your offices not only in York, but also over in Fort Mill, correct?
Right. We're going to have a site in Fort Mill. It's at the Tika K Park. It's called the, off the top of my head, it's
Catawba
right off.
Catawba Park.
Yeah, Catawba Park off of Gray Rock Road. So we're going to be over there on Wednesday and then Friday and Saturday at our office in York.
Okay. Now, most people are very interested in the hot dogs. Is this the engineering department's responsibility, hot dogs?
It is now.
It is now.
It is now. How many hot dogs are we going to be cooking?
We're going to be cooking 10,000 hot dogs. There will not be any available at the TK location on Wednesday.
Okay.
There will be available on Friday. We're planning on doing 7,000 on Friday. starting at 9 until they run out.
Okay.
So come early. And then on Saturday, we'll do another 3,000.
Trust me, we'll run out.
We will run out.
There have been disappointed members of the co-op who have made it known that I want my hot dogs. I don't know who would be that boisterous about I want my hot dogs, but there are people out there like that.
Well, we're a member-owned, member-driven organization, and the membership said we want hot dogs back. So we listened, and we started doing hot dogs. So this is the first year we've gone to 10,000 hot dogs. So
we increased it 2,000 more this year. It was 8,000 last year, so we increased it 2,000 more.
Who is going to cook all these hot dogs?
We have a partnership with York School District. They work with us, and also the York Rotary Club works with us.
York School District and the York Rotary Club are going to cook
all
these hot dogs.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Do they know what they're getting into?
They've done it before.
They've done it before?
They've done 8,000. Right. They're going to be up to 10.
So what else happens at the annual meetings? It's a drive-through affair. You got election of directors, right?
We do have election of directors this year. We have District 3 that is running. Richard Roach is the incumbent, and Ronald Wiley will be running against him.
Okay.
And District 2, we have a expired, not an, we had a retirement.
A vacancy.
A vacancy. Okay. That's the correct word. Due to director's health.
Okay.
So we have Kevin Tolson and Miss Terry Lovelace will be running for that seat.
All right.
So they will fill the unexpired term, which is 1 year, and then if they choose to run again, they'll be up for re-election again next year.
So the directors have how many years?
3-year terms.
3-year terms.
Yes, sir.
They can succeed themselves?
Yes.
They can?
Yep.
For as long as they want, or is there a limitation?
Every 3 years, they have to go through the same process as a petition candidate. They have to get signatures. They have to go through training, make sure all the requirements have to be met brand new, like if they're new.
And for those who get to go through the line to cast your vote and get, what's the credit they're going to get on their
$25 retirement credit.
Right, so there's the incentive. A couple of hot dogs and a $25
credit. Maybe win a truck.
Maybe win a truck, yes. What kind of truck are we giving away this year?
It's got 2017 Ford F-150.
Ooh, good.
Yeah, you look good in that, man.
Yeah, it's got just a little over 10,000 miles on it.
So, really?
Yeah.
Little over.
Like 110,000 miles, whatever. So they're going to give away a truck.
We got three $500 power bill credits in addition to the $25 power bill credit.
So the directors, their job is to do what? Sit down with you all quarterly and see what's up?
There's a lot involved with the directors. They have formal training that they have to go through to become a credentialed director. But then they meet each month for our board meeting to conduct the business of the co-op, review the financials, any bylaw issues that may come up. They're running that. They also hire the CEO. That's their one employee.
And fire the CEO.
And retire the CEO.
Yeah. So. One thing that they're kind of they're a policy group that makes sure we're doing the right things. I tell people, a board member, the board really is like guardrails to make sure that the co-op is looking out for the members always,
right,
and that we stay in, between the ditches and don't wander off where we shouldn't, and use the members' money wisely. And I'll give a shout out to the board. With all that's going on with power costs, we still have the lowest residential rates in the state. So, better than all the folks around the state, and I think that's a credit to the board and their wisdom and guidance over the years.
Well, it's also a credit to you, Paul Basha, for all your years running the co-op. Congratulations on your retirement, and
thank
we
you.
Know we'll hear a lot more from you as you continue your mission work, and that's great. And to you, Craig, welcome aboard. Well, you've already been aboard.
Yep.
Now you get to steer the ship yourself, all right? Well, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, here at Substation 2, you will find fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. How we do it is what brings people back here day after day after day after day. The doctor is here. He's going to lead the chant. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice, slice. Garden.
Little soft, but that's okay. We'll get you next time around. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.